But I'm going to pick up. I wasn't sure if my last Sunday I ministered if we was going to go on to another series, but we're going to stay in knowing and seeing the Lord for a few more weeks, because the Lord's brought us to how Jesus operated perfectly in His ministry, the ministry that God had called Him to. But He was disciplined, very disciplined in what He did, where He went, what He said, because He had a short time, 33 years, a short time, but only 3.5 years of public ministry to get His work done, to get His specific work done. And it was a good work. It's a good work. It's still working in the earth. It's working in the church. So I want to pick up the last session we had was knowing and seeing, or believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. Now, we're talking about Christians now. We're not talking about the world. But I'm going to remind you of our keynote scripture for this series is in John 14, verse 21, King James Version. Jesus said, "He that hath my commandments and keeps them," help me, guards them, preserves His word, honors His word, obeys His word, and then, like James says, we do the word. When we do that, Jesus said, "That's He it is that loves me." That's how we prove that we love, is we do what the Lord's told us to do. And it's not grievous. His commandments are not grievous. All it is bound up in one word, says love. Love your brother, love your sister, and love your enemy. "And he that loveth me," Jesus said, "shall be loved of my Father." I've got one Father, one Heavenly Father. Amen? And so do you. And He loves you. And He will manifest, according to John 14, He will manifest Himself to you. That means He will reveal Himself. He will make Himself clearly seen to you. He can't lie. He's not a man that He should lie, so that's His promise to you. The Amplified says it this way, John 14, 21, "The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really," in brackets, "really loves me. And whoever really loves me will," we could say, "really, really be loved by my Father." And Jesus said, "And I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him." In brackets, "I will let myself be clearly seen by him." And I like this part, "make myself real to him." Because, see, that's what God did when I first went to when I committed my life to him and then went to the first, I say, spirit-filled church I'd ever been in and experienced the power of the Holy Ghost, of the anointing. Never experienced it before. God proved that he manifested, he revealed how he is real. By his power, by his mighty power. I'd never experienced that before, and it changed my life. It totally changed my life. But I have to go back and I have to remember. Because see, your flesh can't touch God. You can't touch him with your flesh. You touch him with your heart. See, that's the spirit of the man. It's in the heart. And when you seek him, Jesus said, "When you seek me with your whole heart," that means don't play games, don't say you love me, and then go out here and do all the sinful stuff. You never loved him. When you truly love him and seek him, he is there and he will manifest. And that's what happens in the new birth. When you get born again, when you truly repent and seek him, he is there and he manifests. He makes himself real and known to you. And that's what he did to me. He met me. He met me there at that faith, that heart of faith, and he manifested himself as God to me, as healer to me, as deliverer to me, all in 1 second of time. And it changed my life. But I still had to choose every day. I believe that. Because the world and the devil is going to always want to take you back and say, he's going to want you to forget that experience. This is what that's why we take communion. We remember the blood, because there's power in the blood. That's what Morgan's singing about. There's power in that blood. There's power in the life of the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's message is going to be about hope. Hope, a positive imagination. Hope is a positive imagination. For us to operate like Jesus did on the earth, and that's what he wants us to do, he says, that's our commission. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, speak in other tongues. The works that I do shall you do. And greater works. He said greater works. Well, let's just focus on the work. Let's just do the work and then expect greater works. Because he is the greater one on the inside of us. So for us to operate like Jesus on the earth and have the same results that he had, and we can, because he said we could, we're going to have to see like Esau. Not Esau. You're talking about Esau. See like he saw. I didn't say seesaw either. Some of y'all was thinking about seesaw. Remember those seesaws? Ruthie don't know what a seesaw is. Everybody remember the seesaw? You get on there with your best friend and you jump off and let them fall on the ground. Remember those days? Or your sister, yeah. See, what are we doing? We're going back to our... How do you know that? How do you see that? How do you remember that? You experience it, and there's an image on the inside of your... It's called your imagination. And it's real. See, the word. We're not talking about fantasy. When I say imagination, the world thinks a Christian, we start talking about imagination, they say, you're in a fantasy world. Yeah, don't wake me up. It's not a fantasy world. It's a real world to me. Your imagination. Now, don't let it run away. Remember, don't let your imagination run away with you. It's okay as long as you're running with Jesus. Run, let it run. Run to him. Amen? We got to see like he saw. And to do that, we got to understand what Bible hope is. Hope is not hoping and a wishing, wishing and a hoping. That's not Bible hope. The definition, and this is Merriam-Webster's definition, the definition of hope is to cherish a desire with anticipation. 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 It's making me wait. What do you see? Right there. What do you see? Anticipation. Somebody tell me now, what are you seeing? Depends on how old you are. I'm seeing Heinz ketchup. What are you seeing? What are y'all seeing? Ain't anybody going to tell me what they're seeing. But see, that was a commercial. You know, you pour the Heinz ketchup and it's taking forever. Anticipation, it's making me wait. And see, that word, that song, it painted a picture. See, that's how the media, that's how they sell you things. Show you things. Because if you can see it, you want it. You can have it. See, I like ketchup. I don't like the anticipation, though. So what I would do, I'd stick me a knife in it and make it come out faster. Because I ain't got all day. But it's good ketchup. It ain't just all mixed up water. It's some good ingredients in there. It's what it is. So Bible hope is you're cherishing something and you have a desire with anticipation to expect it with confidence. In other words, Bible hope is confident expectation and what you're believing for. In the Old Testament, we would call it trust. You don't hear a lot about hope in the Old Testament, but you can, if you look up the word imagination, you'll find it about 39, 40 time references in the Old Testament, but only one time will you see it spoken as a positive imagination. And that's critical because your imagination is powerful. Romans 8:24. Romans 8:24 says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why do you yet hope for?" Hope is something that's not seen with your physical eyes. It's not seen with your physical eyes. It believes. Bible hope believes something that it cannot see with the physical eyes. That's what Bible hope is. Okay, Daniel, go to 2 Corinthians 4:18. 2 Corinthians 4:18, that'll give you guys time to get there too in your Bible. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we look not," say look. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen," this thing right here is temporary. This suit is temporary. "For things that we see, they are temporal, but the things which are not seen," we can say, "hope is eternal." We can't see it, but it's eternal. See, we can see things by hope. You see it with your heart. I was going to get a song, but I didn't. But that song was playing this week is, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you." See you high and lifted up. See, that's how we see. That's what hope is. It's seeing things in the Word. Confident expectation that's in the Bible. It's been written down for us. But not with our physical eyes. This is what we call seeing with our imagination. The definition. Here's the definition of imagination. Remember, hope is confident expectation in what you have a desire for. Ruthie has a desire to play excellent softball, be at the top, have an A game. She is seeing herself doing that. And it's happening. Because, see, God put something on the inside of you that's called hope, that's called power. He created you in His image and in His likeness. You can see things. See, we lost that ability when man fell. See, we spiritually died. See, you lost your hope. You lost your vision. We lost our vision of what God was, who He was. He was love. He is love. But see, mankind, we lost that vision. But Jesus restored the vision. He restored what hope is. He said, "Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Philip should have had hope, but he said, "Jesus, show us the Father." See, he was seeing with his physical. He was seeing Jesus in his sweaty body. He had been sweating and preaching. He was like, "No, Jesus, show us the Father." Jesus said, "Philip, have I been with you so long?" But see, Philip wasn't listening with his spiritual heart. He was listening with his physical ears. But Jesus knew he would hear. See, now here's the definition of imagination. Imagination is the ability to imagine things that are not real. The ability to form a picture in your mind of something that you have not yet experienced. The ability to see new things. Something that only exists or happens in your mind. See, our imagination is our ability to see things that are not present. But it's not a fantasy. It's real. It's a God-given ability. It's something that we actually already seen. So this is talking about your imagination. We can't even function without an imagination. Think about it. Got y'all looking now, thinking. But see, what are you thinking about right now? You're waiting on me to lead you. See, you're in your mad. You're like, "I don't know what the pastor's going to ask me to think about." See, this is how Jesus ministered and taught. He wanted to get their focus. He wanted them to see what he was seeing. As he was preaching and teaching, he would give them an illustration because he's trying to get them thinking about what he's seeing. But see, their spirit was dead, so he was having to give them something natural as he was speaking life. Because he knew once they got born again, the picture was going to come and it was going to be framed by God's Word and His Spirit. And they would see it. They would be like, revelation comes. The light bulb comes on. I see it. I see what Jesus was talking about. And that brings excitement. You get excited. My kids get excited when Mama starts talking about Disney World. Why? They've been there. They have experienced it. They are starting to imagine what they're going to do this year. And when they get a little bit older and they have kids and they know they got to spend the money, they might not get quite as excited as Mom and Daddy. Unless they've really been saving because, see, they don't see all the expense, do they, Reed? They see the pleasure. And that's good. I thank God that we're able to bless them. But one day they're going to get to really have their faith in God to be believing for the finances to bless their family with. And that takes hope. That takes hope in their provider. Amen. But we can't even function without an imagination. We can't leave. When we leave this church, a lot of us are going to go eat. You're going to decide where you're going to go, but how are you going to get there? You're going to drive. But what if you've never been there? How are you going to get there? You're going to follow somebody that's been there, right? Amen. Jesus came from above and came down here and showed us the Father. He showed us the Father's will. He had been in heaven. And he came down to earth and was trying to... No, he wasn't trying. He was showing us the kingdom here on the earth. We'd never seen it before. Adam did. He had a glimpse of it for a while, Adam and Eve, but then they were deceived. We've never seen it. But we have. Jesus showed it to us. That's what we're looking for. Abraham saw it. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. He was looking and he kept looking and he kept looking. He never found it, but he was blessed here on the earth because he believed. He just believed and he went and did what God called him to do. You don't have to understand the Bible to do it. You don't have to understand all the theology and all this. Just trust in Jesus. But we can't do nothing without imagination. We can't get anywhere because we remember in pictures, our imagination. We remember things. That's how I go back as a kid. Because we've already been there. And if you've never seen it, you can't get there. Example. Vicki, if I tell you to go out into my GE truck, and it's not here, but see, you got to imagine my truck is there out there. And I tell you, Vicki, to go get me, it's even hard to say, go get me an evaporator thermistor. I need it right now. Can you please go get that? I need an evaporator thermistor. What are you waiting on, Vicki? Let's go. I need it. She's like, well, go get it if you need it. An evaporator thermistor. What would you say, Tammy?
First of all, I don't know what it looks like.
She don't know what it looks like. That's a good answer. Do you have it labeled? See, now we've got questions. Here we go. Vicki, go to my GE truck, and as soon as you open the door, there's a little yellow button there. You push it, and you pull this tray out, and you have about 14 black boxes. And if you'll look in the box that has WR written on it, it's a black box. Look for a little blue and white bag, and it's got like a little white snake, but it's got a head about 2 inches long, and it's white, and it's plastic. And it's got two wires on it, and it says evaporator thermistor. See, now she's got some idea where she's going. She still might need to call me on the cell phone. Now, what did you say? Because if you don't have a good imagination, and then you got to have a good notepad. See, until you've done it, and you've done it, and you've done it. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Then once she sees it, she's got it. You put your hands on it, you know what an evaporator thermistor is now. See, then you have some understanding. And I painted a picture with words. But those words that I painted was something, I painted that picture so you knew what you were going after. See, we're talking about Bible hope, being a positive imagination. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13:13. 1 Corinthians 13:13. I've actually got this one. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Old word for love. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is charity. Since love is the greatest of these three, and hope is just before love, that means hope is really the second. We could say the second greatest thing out of those three. Even above faith. Hope is more powerful than we have realized. Hope is a positive imagination, a positive imagination. We know what positive and negatives are, don't we, guys? You don't mix the two. You don't take a jumper cable, you don't put a red to a black, or you're going to have a spark. It don't flow right. It's got to be positive to negative to have the flow going. Let's look at Romans 8, 24 and 25. Talk about hope being a positive imagination. Romans 8, 24, 25 says, we are saved by hope. We've already showed this. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Here Paul was trying to say that hope is for something that isn't seen, something that's not present. Once it becomes present, there's no longer any reason to be hoping for it. So hope means you're looking for something, or you're looking at something. I'm hoping my kids are going to find the right mate and they're going to get married one day. I'm hoping for that. You know, you raise them, and that's what you want. Your expectation is they get the right husband, the right woman, and they have children, they have a blessed life. That's a hope. I'm hoping. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm still hoping for that. I'm hoping in the promises of God. Well, you might be thinking, so hope means something. Hope means you're looking at something that you can't see. So you might be thinking, well, if you can't see it, how are you looking at it? You can see, we can see things with our heart. And that's where what our imagination is seeing things with our heart, with the eyes of our understanding being opened up. Isaiah 26:3, Old Testament. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind, that word mind means imagination, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee, or you could say he hopeth in thee. See, Old Covenant, it was trust. The word mind here means imagination. Four other times in the Old Testament. So you could quote the verse this way, the Lord will keep him in perfect peace when your imagination is stayed upon him. Your imagination is your ability to see with your heart what you can't see with your eyes, these physical eyes. And we use this every single day. We're using our imagination. We're using it either positive or we're using it negative. Because we talked about, Vicki couldn't even go get that thermistor until she had an understanding, until she saw what one looked like. We think in pictures. We've talked about this before. We'll use this illustration. It's just a good illustration. I'm going to say, apple. What are you thinking? Somebody said, pie. Is anybody seeing the letters A-P-P-L-E? No, you're not seeing A-P-P-L-E. You're seeing apples. Red apples, green apples. Got an apple been in the refrigerator about too long and it's starting to wrinkle up a little bit. Do you see that apple? It's time to throw that apple out. So my words can change your picture. I can change your imagination with the words I speak. How critical is this in a husband and wife relationship? What we say paints a picture. What do you want hanging on your wall? I want, and he shall inherit the earth. And I'm thinking about some good promises. And they shall live a long, happy life. What picture are we seeing? Well, you better watch what words you're putting out there, right? Because your word, we speak life and we speak death. So your imagination is also how you think. Is how you meditate, how you understand, and how you remember things. You really can't do nothing. We can't do nothing without our imagination. So we have to take the Word of God, and we have to let that Word excite our imagination. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, going back to the beginning, and this is The Lord's getting ready to bring judgment on the earth. It says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Look at that. Their imaginations. All they saw was evil. All they comprehended themselves doing was evil continually. They got up thinking evil. They went to bed thinking evil. Evil thoughts. That's the imagination that was upon the earth. Except for one man and his family, Noah. The Bible says Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. Found favor, found grace. Why? He was thinking on God. Even in a perverse generation, a whole world thinking evil, Noah was thinking about God. His imagination was on seeing God and seeing his family not live like the world was living. He had a hope in that. And because of that, he found favor. God manifested. God came and spoke to him. Gave him a vision for a big boat. First Navy ship. First boat. Just think, all of our boats come from Noah. The vision that he had. But they made it better. Made it out of steel instead of wood. How you make steel float? God gave somebody an imagination. And that imagination got excited. And then God revealed things to him. Says, only by God we do anything. Jesus said, I can't do nothing except the Father show me. Hopefully they don't take the credit for it. Anything I do, I give God the credit. Because it's by him wisdom comes, understanding comes. Genesis 6:5, this is talking about deep thoughts. Their deep thoughts, their imaginations were evil continually. These are not surface thoughts, these are deep thoughts. God deals with us on those heart levels. See, God knows the intents of our heart. And he sees the imaginations of our hearts. That's what he just said there. He saw the wickedness of man. He was seeing into their hearts and it was evil continually. God had to do something. He had to save the earth or he had to just let it go. And he found one man that had an imagination. And God said, I can use that. I can use one man. One man that has imagination that I am still good. I can use that. What do you think he can do with you? I know you got some good thoughts, good imaginations. A lot of people just don't think that imagination is that big of a deal. I'm learning that it is. But the Lord dealt with people according to the imaginations of their hearts. Hope is just more than, I want this to happen. It's a strong desire, earnest desire. Or it's stronger than, I just wish this could happen. Hope goes deeper than that. Hope is a positive imagination. Every time the Scripture talks about an imagination in a positive way, it uses the word hope. Or trust. When Paul talked about hope, he was seeing things with his heart. He was taking the promises of God, and through these promises, he was seeing God cause him to succeed. And sad to say, most people, because they don't understand this process or how important the process is, they jump out the boat. They get out of the boat. But not Paul. In other words, they allow their imaginations to be controlled by other things. God created you in his image and me in his image and his likeness. He gave us a choice. In other words, people, if they get a negative imagination, they start seeing themselves fail. They see themselves poor or sick. And this can lead to hopelessness. Show me somebody that's got hope. I'll show you somebody that no matter how many times they fall down, they'll get up. If they got true Bible hope, I'll show you David. We can look at David. No matter his brothers put him down. He's the youngest. Anybody the youngest? I'm the baby of five. We take some heat. And we take some hits and we take some blows. They get off the seesaw and drop us on the ground. But we get back up. Because I'm going to be big one day. I'm going to be big as you one day. You remember that hope, that picture you see? I might be little right now, but I'm bigger. I'm getting bigger. I remember that little story of the little boy that sat on the front row and the preacher. And the praise and worship team was done singing, but he was still up praising the Lord. He had a song on the inside. He was standing up. And the priest said, "Okay, son, you can sit down now and get ready to start the message." He just kept on singing. He just kept on. He said, "Okay, son, you need to sit down now." And the boy sat down. And he looked up that pastor and he said, "Well, I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside." He did what the pastor said, but he was still singing on the inside. Because there was just something on the inside. He couldn't sit down. He had something stirred him up. That's hope. It's a positive imagination. So whether you know it or not, your imagination is dictating how your life goes, how my life goes. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh, as a man, woman thinketh in his heart, so is he." So is he. The way you think is the way your life is going. Don't like the way your life is going? Change your way of thinking. Change your picture. Burn it up. Burn that one up. Throw it in the fire. If your life isn't going well, if things are a mess, it's because we have conceived it in our imagination. We've heard somebody else say it, and we've taken their vision instead of God's vision. Don't let nobody steal your vision. The devil wants to steal your vision. He wants you to have his, which is eternal damnation. But you got Jesus, you got life eternal. See, that's your vision. Amen? That's my hope. And our imagination is like soil. It's like dirt. Just like the dirt out there. Soil, it doesn't care what kind of seed you put in it. Tomato seed, squash seed, it doesn't matter. Apple seed, pear seed. You put the seed in, all the soil does, with a little bit of water and some sunshine, it makes it grow. It gives it the ability to grow. God made it that way. You can't change that. I don't care what mankind does. They can't change that. They can't make dirt. Amen. You can't make dirt. God made dirt. So no matter what kind of seed you put in, the moment it's planted, the soil starts producing. It's the same way with your heart and your imagination. Think about, in other words, your imagination, that same word, if you look it up through the Old Testament, it means conceive. Also means to conceive. Conceive. Your imagination will conceive something and automatically start making it come to pass. Whether it's positive or negative. Your imagination is like your spiritual womb. A spiritual womb. Your imagination. Whatever you put in, it's growing. There's going to be a birth. Going to be a birth. The imagination, and this is where your imagination is not either moral or dismoral. It's just your imagination. That's the way God created it. What you put in it will come to pass. What you think about, what you desire, what you want, that's your hope. That's your imagination. It's what you focus your attention on and affects it. So we get to choose whether we have a positive imagination, which is hope, or a negative imagination, which becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy of what we're seeing. Hope, Bible hope, is a positive imagination. Positive. So if we're going to get things done in the earth that the Lord wants us to get done, Jesus needs us to do, we're going to have to shut off all the negative, and we can do this. It doesn't mean, you know, you can go out here, things are going to come, but we have a choice to not let that paint a picture in my imagination. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to, no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I shall condemn. The Lord's not going to condemn it. We've got to condemn it. In other words, if it starts painting a negative imagination, we got to cast that thought out. Cast those high thoughts down. Everything that tries to exalt itself above God's word, His promises, don't let it get in your imagination. Because before you know it, it'll start coming and start growing. Next thing you say something, you'll be like, "Where did that come from?" It's in your womb and it's been growing because that's what your imagination does. Your heart does. Jesus said, "Take heed with what you hear and what measure you hear." He's not saying, "Well, go out here and put earplugs in your ears." He's just saying, when you hear it, don't let it become, don't let it, don't you start making a picture. That's not your thought. That's not God's thought. That's not my way. Then you cast that imagination. You cast that imagination down. And you continue on with God's imagination, the hope He's given you. And you'll walk free. Where somebody else got tangled or snared, you're walking free to help them. Amen? Luke 21:26. Gospel of Luke 21:26 says that people's hearts would fail them for fear. Looking at all the things that are happening on the earth. Luke said man's hearts would fear, would fail them for fear. So what have they been thinking on? What have they been imagining? Fear. God says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound imagination, sound mind. See, so what we've been looking at, we've been looking at the things of the world, we're going to have fear. That fear is growing, and next thing you know, it's got a hold of you. It's called a spirit of fear. Well, see, you got to cast that down. Don't let it dominate you. Because if God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, you don't have to have it. He's given you a sound mind of love and a sound mind. That's what you've got to see. That's what you've got to see. That's your picture. I used to have a fear of snakes, fear of spiders. I don't say I like them, but if they get in my way, I squash them. You know, God's got a sense of humor. He created all these insects. But at one time, we had no fear of them. And they feared, you know, that everything was good. It wasn't biting us or attacking us. And all that's going to be changed one day. But until now, they need to know you don't have no fear. Now, you don't tempt the Lord thy God, but you don't let fear. Because the doctors will tell you, if you get in fear, your body starts shutting down. You go in, your body does all kind of crazy things. But see, that's a spirit of fear. People won't fly. People won't ride trains because of all these fears. Hope is powerful. It is powerful. Again, it's the second greatest thing in the Christian life, greater than even faith. So we've got to understand the power of our imagination if we're going to harness the power of hope. See, hope is the imagination. Faith, hope, love. Everything works by love. Everything works by God. So if we don't have a positive imagination, your faith has nothing to produce. See, fear will, if you don't have a positive imagination, fear is going to produce something. You see that? You see that. But if you have God's promises, that's what you're imagining. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I know the imaginations that I have for you, the plans that I have. They're good. Good plans. You know, Frankie helped build this church. These are some good plans. Good material in here. See, they saw this before it was built. Somebody had to see it, design it, saw it was good. If it wasn't good, the engineer said, that ain't good. Don't put that there. Don't put the bathrooms upstairs, put them downstairs. They don't like to go upstairs. That ain't good. God says, I know the plans I have for you, not to be sick, not to be poor. You're supposed to be the head, not the tail. You're supposed to be above only, not beneath. That's the picture. If I'm not seeing some things in my life in that area, I got to change my image. I got to put God's picture in my wallet and quit sitting on it. I got to get it out and start seeing it. Amen. It's time to quit sitting on your vision and start seeing your vision. Praise God. You see that? I saw it. Quit sitting on your vision and see it. It's time for us to quit sitting on the vision God's given us. Amen. And see it continually. See us doing what He's called us to do, whether it be with our family, with our grandkids, in our job, in the ministry. What picture has He put on the inside of you? Keep it before you. Like Joshua said, meditate upon it. Day and night. See it day and night. Day and night. Well, my kids ain't acting like that. I don't care. See it. Say it. And then God will help them, and by God's grace, they'll do it. Amen. See them doing it. See yourself being ahead, not tail, above only and not beneath in your finances. Thank you, Jesus. If you've been hopeless and you know you've been looking only at natural circumstances and negative things in your life, if you've been, I'm praying to God that you'll change your focus and start seeing the positive things that He has for you in your life. Amen. And that a positive imagination, this positive imagination will come alive on the inside. Hope will start motivating you and driving you toward the goals that Jesus has for you. That's my prayer for you today. And through this series, we're going to know the things of the Lord and see the things that we've never been able to quite get a hold of. And some of us are going to, God's going to make the vision clear. He's going to make it more plain for you. There's been some areas that's been a little dark because the devil's had us in the dark a little bit, but God's going to remove the darkness. He's going to remove the darkness. He's going to remove the darkness. You ever been in a dark room developing pictures? This goes way back in school. You remember you go in the dark room, you have to develop the pictures in the dark? Because if the light came in, it ruined the picture. Well, that's the world's way of thinking. I want the light. I want God's light to reveal any darkness in me so I can be the picture that He's painted me to be. Come out, let's come out of the dark room. Devil, we're coming out of the dark room. We're coming to the light. And we're going to see things that ain't pretty in our lives, and you're going to take care of it. We're going to give it to you, and we're going to start seeing the picture, the image you've given us of our life, of our future. And it's bright. Amen? It's bright. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.